Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player, or Magic Stone. Today we're recommending Sword of Shannara by Terry Brooks. It's a book about elves, I think. So if you're enjoying the show, give the free trial a chance. It'll help us pay for the hosting. But I'm not sure what that is. I'm just a wizard. Enjoy the episode. Next scroll. Reese's, where are you? Welcome to another episode of Fantasy Fiction. My name is Dominic.
My name is Josh.
And today we are talking about assassins and...
and riddles.
Ooh, yeah. But first, Josh, what were you up to this week? Tell me.
I watched a bunch of Smithsonian Channel stuff on Netflix. They added, like, all this... It sounds boring. But it's fucking awesome. It's like shit about like the secret of like Nazi castles and like Joan of Arc.
Dude, I'm sure I would love all of
that. Dude, you should
watch it. Where did you watch it? On Netflix?
Yeah, on Netflix. They just added a bunch of it. And I watched all of them in like a day.
Oh, I did see those.
Yeah, they're really cool.
Man, I should watch those. Oh, man.
There's one about the Sphinx and how like they think it used to be like a lion's head and then they carved it into a guy's head. And it's really interesting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the perfect thing that I want to watch on Netflix. Have you watched that Mammals series?
No.
Dude, that is a great series as well. I think it's National Geographic. Yeah. I can't remember, but that's a really fascinating series. And it's like one of those things where you'll be watching it and be like, how the hell did they set up this shot?
Right.
Like, how the hell did they were like, okay, we're just going to wait for, like, possums to walk by, hopefully.
Right,
or, like,
right,
whatever crazy creature they were capturing that day.
Oh, I also watched the Walking with Cavemen because there's titties in it.
Oh, yeah?
So check that out if you want to see some boobs.
They're, yes, I do.
They're caveman boobs, but they're not really caveman boobs. I mean, they're real people boobs.
But if you're into caveman boobs, this right. is the closest you're going to get.
This is as good as it gets.
I'll tell you what I did. I worked a lot on stuff. I can't remember what I did.
That sounds much more productive than what I did.
But I was on an episode of The Soup this week.
I didn't know that.
I was on TV.
Did you send that a picture of that to me? Is that what you sent to me?
I sent you a photo of us shooting it.
Okay,
I'll post a link to the video on YouTube in the comments. Mm-hmm. It's just this short little sketch. It's really great. It came out really well. But hey, guys, I don't know if you noticed, but this is episode 26, which means we've been doing this show for half a year.
Congratulations for our 6 month anniversary. What did we get? Is that like wood?
Yeah, I think that's wood. And then next year I'm supposed to get you a broadsword.
Oh, fuck, dude. Well, then we're definitely doing this for another year, at least.
Another half a year.
So
it'll be the year anniversary when you get a broadsword in the mail.
dude, I wish I just had, like, a retarded amount of money so I could just buy swords.
I was going through my retweets, and I came across your sword tweet.
Yeah, where I was like, every morning I wake up unfulfilled because I don't own enough swords or something. Something like that.
The other week when we were recording the show, right before, Josh sent me a link to swords from ThinkGeek.com, which, hey, ThinkGeek, if you want to sponsor this show and you want to just send us some swords as payment,
yeah,
we are completely open to that.
Yeah, I would be totally fine with that. I would be more than fine.
I prefer faux hammer.
Yeah.
The faux hammer.
I would also prefer that. I'll go with the orc one. The
Galandrian.
Galandrian?
Galandrian?
Yeah.
The other one that kicks ass.
The orc slayer? Or the goblin slayer? That one.
I think the taint ripper, right?
The taint ripper. That's one from our show that they don't have up yet.
Yeah, but someone will forge it. Some legend.
It's true.
With that,
Why don't we get into some fantasy,
let's
Josh?
Let's do this. Let's get into it.
Let's do this!
This is where the music plays.
This is where the music plays on Fantasy Fiction 106.1 FM. Fantasy Fiction.
Dom.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
For my story.
Yes, sir.
All right. It is called Injustice 4, the number 4, Grawl.
That might be one of your best titles, Josh.
I thought it was. I was really proud of that title.
I like it.
Usually my titles are like, this thing happened. It's stupid. They're dumb. I'm not good at them.
The time people died.
That's actually really good. I'm going to write that one down.
We should write that one.
You should save that one. That's funny. All right. In the city of Grawl, there were about as many jobs as I've had blowjobs this year. Absolutely zero.
Well, it is only February, so...
Well, I'm counting 12 months ago. I'm going back the entire, not calendar year, I'm going back actual time.
One year from this day.
Right. 1 year from this day that Earth is in space at this point. It was a depressing shithole of a town that made my blowjobless life look like a blowjay pleasure cruise to some island where you get serviced by mouths of all kinds of shapes and sizes.
Damn.
Toothless and otherwise. I don't know. You could probably even get a Dracula blowjob there, I hope. Anyway.
Remember that Dracula fleshlight they started selling?
No.
Weird.
Send
Weird.
Me a link.
Yeah, they do. Hey, Fleshlight, if you want to sponsor the show.
Yeah, just send us Fleshlights.
Dracula only, please.
I'd be cool with that. I'd be totally cool with that. Anyway, Grawl is about as prosperous and awesome as taking your cousin to Druid prom, unless you're in South Theranos, because, yeah, that shit flies down there. They're totally gross there. Don't go there. Since jobs were scarce, many of Grawl's citizens took up work ranging from petty thievery to bounty hunting to dying in the streets cold and alone, which doesn't pay so well, but hey, it's a living until you're dead. Anyway.
Oh, man. Anyway.
Anyway. There was one half-elf, half-human boy who was destined to break the shackles of his poverty and get the shit out of Grawl, because fuck any place where you can't get a nasty BJ at the end of a hard day's work. That boy's name was Panhand Dustwalker.
Oh, something tells me this isn't going to work out.
I don't know. We'll see. Panhand spent most days pickpocketing and running a rigged fur beetle shell game in a dank, stank alley behind his stepfather Jerry's house. Jerry had married Panhand's elf mother some time ago before she died of some crazy elf disease. Let's say, elf cancer. Yeah. Elf cancer. That's a thing.
That sounds about right. Theranos has wing cancer and elf cancer, so...
It's like real life. I mean, in our world, we get all kinds of cancer. You get...
That's true.
Foot cancer, I don't know. Anyway! Panhand was relegated to live in a small wooden dumpster in the alley, while his stepfather, Jerry, used all of his mother's riches to throw lame parties where they danced to music, stone recordings of Troll Matthews Band, and talked about high school. It was totally lame and sad. One day, Panhand was wrecking some suckers and cleaning house at Fur Beetle Shell Game when Jerry came outside. Panhand, you piece of useless sack, a worthless bag, a good-for-nothing suitcase full of hopeless dog vomit. Just then, everyone around the shell game cheesed it super quick, leaving Panhand standing alone. I told you, if you're gonna scam bitches to make them give up their gold first, what is this? Rave rubies? I can't spend these here because I don't even know what those are, I don't think.
No, those are expensive!
He doesn't know.
I know. There's a... It's a translation. Something lost.
Yeah, something lost. Maybe Ray Rubies and Daranos means, like, useless shells or something. I don't know. Then Jerry took all the gold, silver, and Ray Rubies from Panhand, shoving them into his pockets. Now get out of here, you useless, good-for-nothing piece of, dog crap. Yeah, that's the ticket. Dog crap. Still got it, Jerry. Jerry muttered as he went back into the house.
Jerry.
From inside, Panhand could hear him yell, "Now who wants to hear about how cool Jerry was in high school again?" Panhand was even more poor as shit as he had been 20 minutes ago when he was really fucking poor as shit. Welp, better go try and earn enough money to buy some crumbs from that bakery for poor people that only bakes crumbs, Panhand thought as he made off down the alley to the center of town.
How do you only make crumbs?
It's really poor. It's for really poor people. They just bake, like, a handful of crumbs a day.
Sometimes they just bake dust and it comes out of crumbs.
It's just, yeah, it's just dust. They just put a bunch of dust mites in an oven and eat it. That's horribly sad.
Oh, that's poor.
That's really sad. I just really got sad for a minute. Anyway! As he walked through a dark and depressed section of Grawl, aptly named Little Sad Town, he saw a mark. There was a man in clean black gear with two swords draped across his back, both glowing with enchantments. Panhand walked toward him. As they got close, Panhand purposely walked right into the man. The man didn't budge and knocked Panhand over. "Hey, watch it, you jizz stain!" Panhand yelled from the ground. The man kept walking. Panhand smiled, though, because in his hand was a shiny gold coin he had pickpocketed from the pocket. Score. And underneath the coin was an unused condom. Double score. But the coin was probably more valuable. For now. Panhand decided to walk home, flipping the coin victoriously over and over again along the way. As he entered the back alley to his house, he saw a dark figure standing there. It was the dark man with the enchanted awesome double swords. "You have something that belongs to me," grumbled the dark man from under his hood. Oh shit, Panhand thought. Then he looked at the coin, on which had the markings ASL on them. A coin Panhand had never seen the like of before. "So you like stealing, do you, boy?" the dark man growled. Panhand tried to turn and run, but as soon as he turned, he ran into something and fell to the ground right on his ass. As he looked up, he saw the dark man towering above him. "How did you..." Panhand asked.
"Damn.
If you wish to learn my ways, take that coin to the monastery on top of Fatality Mountain."
Damn.
"There you will learn the ways of the Assassin Secret League."
The dark man grumbled. Panhand looked at the coin and looked up again. When he did, the man was gone. "Hey, come back," Panhand yelled. "Hey, did you let me pickpocket you so that I could become an assassin?" he yelled, looking around.
"Yes,"
a voice came from inside a dumpster.
"Yes, that's totally what I did. Yeah. Now go, boy."
Okay, Panhand responded. Are you going to be all right in there?" he asked. Nobody answered. "Did you assassin your way out of that dumpster, or are you just ignoring me? Hello?" After 37 minutes of talking to the seemingly empty dumpster, Panhand decided to make his way to Fatality Mountain. When he got to the monastery, he saw a large wooden door with a sign that read, "To enter, you must complete the following riddle. A bone car leaves Grawl going 45 miles per day. At the same time, a bone train leaves the Bonely Mountain at 20 miles per day. How long will it take for the two of them to reach Reese's and Snickerdoodle's Tower if and when it appears on the midday sun of All Skeleman's Eve?" "Fuck this," Panhand said. "I'm here to learn how to murk some fools." "Correct," a booming voice boomed, and the doors opened. As Panhand walked in, he could see a familiar hooded figure. It was the dark man.
"I see you made it, boy," he said.
"How did you beat me here?" Panhand questioned.
"You stood talking to that dumpster for like 37 minutes, so you know. I fucking walked, kid,"
replied the man.
"Now enough bullshit. It's time for you to start your training. You must face the trials of the assassin if you wish to become a certified assassin in the ASL." The first test is of the flesh. Now sit, boy, and meditate with me.
The two sat for a good long time until Panhand became impatient. When am I going to start the trial? He said to the dark man.
Until your legs are asleep,
he said calmly. Well, they are, like pins and needles, dude.
Then let the trial begin.
The dark man bellowed. Just then, the floor gave way to water with, like, at least 69 deadly, fire-breathing sharp tooths in it.
Damn!
There were timbers protruding from the water.
Traverse this trial with your legs asleep if you dare, the dark man said.
Truly, truly a death trap.
It is a test.
Try to just walk with one.
Right?
Asleep leg.
You can't. I can't even take a piss with my legs are asleep.
You gotta take the seat.
You gotta sit, yeah. Panhand got up on his hands and started breakdancing so hard, just using his hands.
Damn.
He made his way halfway across the trial, just doing crazy head spins and handsprings from timber to timber. Sharp teeth were snapping at him, trying to eat his face off and probably his wiener too. But he was too awesome to be stopped. As he made it to the other side, he threw up the double middle fingers to all of his haters who weren't there, but they probably felt it from miles away. Yeah, it was that awesome.
Very good, boy, the man said. Now for the trial of the mind. What word can be read forwards and backwards, as well as upside down in a mirror?
Panhand thought for quite some time. He thought and he thought and he thought until his mind started wandering to cooler things, like boobs. Wait a minute, he thought. Boob, he yelled.
Correct,
said the dark man. And then they both high-fived because boobs are fucking awesome.
You are now ready to become an assassin, the dark man said. But there is one more trial. You must kill in the name of justice, he said.
Okay, I can do that, Panhand replied.
Really?
The dark man said, surprised.
I thought you were going to be all like, oh no, killing is wrong and blah blah blah. Justice should be dished out by a jury of your peers, blah blah blah, and shit.
Nah, man, I'm totally cool with killing someone in the name of justice.
Oh, well, great. Get going then.
Okay, I will. I'm leaving now. Thanks a lot, dark man.
Don't mention it, kid,
the dark man replied.
Hey, kid.
Panhand turned around on his way out and said, yes, dark man?
Boobs.
Then they high-fived again because boobs were still fucking awesome.
I want spinning newspaper. Boobs still awesome.
Awesome. Panhand made his way back home where Jerry lay on his favorite of 9 couches. Panhand put his new black hood up and walked into the couch room. There he grabbed his mother's slightly curved elven sword from the mantle. Wake up, Jerry, you stupid sack of bag a duffel bag full of useless swallowed jizz, Panhand shouted. Jerry woke up startled.
Boy, this better be some kind of joke, or I'll, like, kill you like I did your good-for-nothing mother by giving her elf cancer.
Oh. Oh, my God.
I know, Jerry sucks.
Hey, Jerry gave his mom elf cancer?
Yeah. It's like, you know how, like, men give women cervical cancer? Because we carry...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we carry the virus that gives them... Sad. Yeah, so it's our fault. Sorry, ladies. I mean, I don't think I've ever given anyone cervical...
This is real bummer.
Well, they got a vaccine for it now, so that's fine.
Oh, my God.
Anyway! Not a joke, Jerry, but a riddle, Panhand said. What's black and white and red all over? Jerry was confused and a little terrified. Give up, Panhand said. You, he said as he slit Jerry's throat.
Damn!
As Jerry gurgled on his own gross blood, he gurgled,
I don't get it.
Just then, Panhand took out his magical writing quill and drew a large, veiny dick jizzing like a quart of jizz onto Jerry's forehead.
Ow, now I get it,
Jerry said, and then he died and immediately released his bowels because fuck Jerry. Panhand...
Yeah, fuck Jerry.
Dude, he's a murderer.
He sucks.
Panhand sheathed his sword and put his hood up again, then walked out of the house. Never to be seen again? Question mark? Finn.
And then the question mark bleeds.
Dude, this should be a movie.
Fade to credits. Story by Josh Henderson.
Directed by Josh Henderson. Edited by Josh Henderson. starring
anything
Josh
cool that happened by Josh Henderson.
Special effects. lasers. I'll give credit to lasers on that one.
That was a great story. Panhand, you know what's funny is that he started breakdancing, and I thought, yeah, he probably learned that on the streets.
He probably did, because he's a kid.
Yeah, panhanded.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Panhandling, even.
Yeah. You got it.
It's canon. Poor people can't breakdance.
Everybody knows that. That's true. That's real life canon.
What else are you going to learn?
Yeah. Jobs?
Ballroom dancing? No.
The tango? Definitely not.
Josh, are you ready for my tale of assassins and riddles?
Yes.
All right, this chilling tale is called Riddle of Initiation.
Oh, shit.
It was a cold winter evening in the Forok Forest. Not a cloud was in the sky, as the moon shined brightly. Bright that if a couple was trying to get a secret freaky bone sesh on in the woods, you would be able to see it like it was daytime. Like, you wouldn't even have to squint. Just a loud, echoey, kind of spooky, because it's prime time for monster attack and bone sesh. A figure in black ran through the thick forest, jumping and ducking his way with such agility. The figure leapt through the air and threw 198 miles per hour fastballs at wooden targets all around him. They all exploded, and if anyone else was near them, they would have been impaled with splinters, a.k.a. the worst way to die.
Dude, that is not a good way to die.
You just die from OD pain.
Yeah,
it's ODing on pain.
He's, I'm ODing on pain. I'm dead.
Oh, God, I move. Every time I move, it's like they're going in more. I'm died. I'm dead. The figure then did 7 spinning backflips to a barrel filled with null skin footballs and threw 50 touchdown passes to lightning hawks at least 40 yards away that were flying over the forest. Then he unsheathed the sword and hit a home run pine cone. Man, this dude has it all. The super awesome guy ran further into the forest. He sprinted through a long stretch of path when suddenly out of the trees fired like 700 poison-tipped arrows. With incredible timing, the figure just walked on them like they were some goddamn stairs that somehow led to a zip line that he slid down and like 20 electric guitars soloed as he did. Damn, if you didn't have a raging bone before, you do now.
That's true. I can confirm this.
I can no
I have
understand.
A boner.
Help! Shouted a voice just a few feet away. In a flash, the awesome pitcher slash quarterback slash zipline rider was at the foot of a large tree. On the ground was an orc dressed similarly to the guy who just did all that awesome stuff, with an arrow sticking directly out of his knee. I was wounded by the trials, he said, wincing. The figure pulled his black mask down, revealing a human face. He had short, curly black hair and stubble, with piercing blue eyes that seemed to say, lasers could shoot out of these.
That's beautifully descriptive.
Oh, thank you. His name was Trakas, a well-known assassin for hire. The wounded man gasped. So it is true, he said. Trakas, joining the Guild of the Black Mark. Let me see the wound, said Trakas. We're going to have to remove the arrow. On the count of 3. Ready? The wounded assassin nodded. 1, 2. Suddenly, Trakas pulled the arrow out and then threw it directly into the orc's neck. Why? Gargled the orc, bleeding profusely. You would have slowed me down, Trakas answered.
Whoa!
Such is the way of the Black Mark. And he dashed further into the forest.
Dude, this guy is crazy ruthless.
Dude, he's crazy. And when he ran away, he kicked up a little bit of dirt in his face, and the guy breathed it in, and his last breath was of dirt. So yeah, dust to dust, motherfucker.
That's the best. best line of the show that's ever been said on the show. This is the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. Jesus Christ.
Trakas then approached a troll only wearing an apron standing next to a little metal cart. Ding Dong Larry's 69th annual hot dog eating contest, shouted the troll. Winner gets his photo on the wall and to name a crazy hot dog after himself. The only other entry is this tiny moon ant who already had dinner. I don't even like hot dogs, said the little moon ant who was wearing a straw hat and scarf sitting next to a big plate of hot dogs on a picnic table.
That's so adorable. Jesus Christ, that's cute.
The story just took a real hard left.
It went from a guy breathing in dirt as his last breath to the cutest fucking ant. With a
moon ant.
A moon ant. Moon Sorry. Ant. Moon ant.
So the guild thinks they can slow me down with a hot dog contest, said Trakas. Ha ha, take this! The human jumped into the air and atomic leg dropped the table, sending all the hot dogs flying. Then he caught them in his mouth, which, by the way, there were like 37 goddamn hot dogs on that plate, and ate them all at once. God damn, said the little moon ant, whose straw hat fell off in excitement.
I just picture him with his mouth open with the, like, this hat just, like, flies off of his head.
Well, like, it's got, like, that little squiggly mark, like, in cartoons where it, like, flew away.
Yeah, like, woo! Yeah.
Fudge, he, like, assassinated those hot dogs.
Oh, my God.
Trakas continued to his destination. Ding Dong Larry would later create a hot dog in his honor that was wrapped in bacon, covered in cheddar, mozzarella, and pepper jack cheese with BBQ and honey mustard on a toasted roll and call it the Assassinator.
I like how if this were you, if this is your trial, it would be a very difficult trial for you to pass. Because you fucking love hot dogs.
I fucking love hot dogs, one. And two, hey, man, if I, it's just this little moon ant who already had dinner, I'm going to beat him.
You're going to beat him. So, yeah, it's like it's served up for you to win. Hard to
But that's the thing, man. You don't want, they're trying to slow you down.
Yeah.
Anyway. As the human closed in on his quest, he heard another voice shout just off the side of the trail. Free sex this way, yelled a very ugly goblin with a crappy maiden's wig on, holding a sign that said, free sex, I'm a lady.
He's gotta tell people. That's not a good sign.
Stinkline the goblin, I know that's you, replied Trakas.
Yeah!
I'm freaky as shit, says Stinkline. Suddenly, a dagger flew through the air, ripping off the goblin's lady wig. Dang it, I've done been uglied, he said sadly. Trakas went on his way. Then, lightning struck Stinkline for no apparent reason. Oh wait, he's Stinkline. That's the reason.
The fates are fickle.
The assassin slowed to a walk as he approached a clearing in the woods. Standing in the center was a cloaked figure with hoods drawn over its two heads. Very good, Trakas, spoke the left head of the cloaked representative.
Oh,
you've exceeded expectations, but if you wish to join the Guild of the Black Mark, there is one more challenge that awaits you. It's harder than the other ones, spoke the other head. Quiet! I am in the middle of something. Well, it is harder. You might as well let him know. I'm sure he is aware I'm trying to create a mood and you are interrupting. You don't see me chiming in on one of your playing card nights. It's Ragic, the trading card game, draft night, and I happen to have won the last three in a row. Thank you very much, said the right head with much resent.
I like how this is like this odd couple. It's just like the passive aggressiveness is just, it's like overflowing.
Mm-hmm. As I was saying, there is one final trial. A trial of the mind. Suddenly, the clearing filled with smoke, and when it cleared, where the ogre stood was a little imp. Behold, the ogre's voice bellowed. The Riddle Master. To prove all your strengths to the guild, you must solve one of his riddles. Which won't be easy. I mean, look at this puzzle Riddleton-looking motherfucker, said the other head. Seriously, shut your mouth! And with that, they were gone. But real talk, this little guy was a puzzle Riddleton-looking motherfucker. He had thick glasses, a pen and paper which with he jotted down equations at any given time, and a watch with a calculator on it. So, said the imp, they tell me you must solve one of my riddles before entering the guild of some sort, You know I don't usually do this sort of thing. This is payment for a job they did for me. You had someone killed, said Shrikas. Yes, you could say that. I mean, it seems pretty blatant. It's an assassin's guild. On with the riddle! Shouted the imp.
Like they painted his kitchen, maybe. You never know.
You never know. Okay, get ready for the hottest, most insanely hard riddle of your life. What is at first a human, then turns into a werewolf in the light of the moon? A werewolf, replied Trakas calmly. Complete silence filled the forest. First riddle solved, next riddle, said the imp. Hang on a second, countered Trakas. I was told I only had to solve one riddle, and it was incredibly easy. That is why my riddles are so hard, because they are really three riddles, said the imp. Moving on, what is an egg, said the assassin. Where do people live in houses, replied Trakas, now visibly annoyed. Actually, my riddles are 17 riddles.
The old best out of five, best out of seven.
Yelled the imp, but Trakas had heard enough. He put his fingers to his mouth and whistled. A lightning hawk answered his call and perched on a nearby branch with lightning shooting all the fuck over and catching most of the tree on fire. Go long, said Trakas, and the lightning hawk flew into the night. Trakas approached the shrimp. What are you doing? Hey, well, I only told them I was the riddle master so they would assassinate that guy who kept walking through my garden. But his pleas heard no sympathy. Trakas held him like a football, squinted his eyes, and found the lightning hawk that was, at this point, like 2 miles away. He pulled back and launched the imp into the air. The throw was amazing. The imp was spiraling so fast that his fucking skin started to peel off. He finally met his target, and when he did, he was now a skinless mass of meat and bone. The lightning hawk caught him with his sick lightning talons and clenched hard. The imp was fried within seconds. The hawk started showboating, doing loop-de-loops and shit. Then he started eating the imp in a nearby tree. Meanwhile, back at the clearing, Trakas nodded his head calmly as it began to fill with black smoke again. When it cleared, the ogre was back where he once stood. He spoke. Dude, did you kill that imp by throwing him like a football to a lightning hawk? Yes, replied the assassin. Okay, fuck riddles, you're in, dude, said the ogre, and like 50 yards behind him, a couple was totally getting their midnight bone session. The end.
That was a great story. That was thanks. Awesome. Very thank symmetrical. You. Also, this is one of those stories that
we both kind of did the same things.
We both wrote a lot of the same stuff, and we didn't, like usual, we don't tell each other any of the stories.
Yeah, it's weird how once in a while that happens.
Yeah.
And it's for the best, because Josh.
Yeah.
Good chemistry. We're
yeah, man.
Good friends.
Let's do it. Let's continue to do this show and be friends.
Let's do it!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of...
Chamber of Knowledge.
I am Reese's the Wise with a Z, and who are you, Mr. Sir?
Well, I am Old Snickerdoodle, as everybody knows, because I am famous.
Well, you've been putting up those posters around town, those drawings of yourself. I don't know why you're doing that.
Yes, well, I just think people should know when a famous man is in the area, and that's what those are. They just say,
famous
warning,
man.
Famous man around.
It's a good warning, Snickerdoodle. I think you might get some work from this.
Yeah, and if you're lucky, you'll get an autograph.
Oh, well.
First scroll. At Mike Iron Fist on Twitter asks, what is the process for asking a hand in marriage in your homeland? Reese's?
Well, first you take her to the best steak brothel in town. If she doesn't immediately get wet, don't marry her. If she does, go to her father's house and say, hey, you old man, I'm boning this chick five ever. Love is very beautiful, Snickerdoodle.
That's quite the way.
It works.
I'm blown away, actually.
It works. You should try it.
In Orkspire, you first have to ask the fair maiden's father, and he will either, one, say no because you smell bad.
Yes.
Two, pinch your nipple really hard, and if you cry, then you can't marry her. Mm. Or three, put all the condiments in one bowl, and you have to eat it with a spoon without gagging. Then he will consider your request. Personally, I just kiss a girl, and if she kisses back, then I just assume we're married.
Who are you kissing that isn't kissing you back, Snickerdoodle? Like
just,
a skeleton?
Just random. I just kind of fall in love pretty easily, like within seconds.
That's very brave of you. I can't seal the deal on a kiss. I never know when. I never know when it's okay to kiss and when it's not. I don't know.
I understand, but I kind of don't because I threw caution to the wind and I just let my lips roll.
Well, you're a famous man, so that makes sense.
What you just have to have a little confidence. That's the key, everyone. Just have a little confidence.
Is there a spell for that?
There is no spell. There is no cure for my sexiness.
All right.
Next scroll
is from at Euron13 on Twitter. He asks, what are your favorite dancing spells, assuming there are multiple spells that force people to get down with their bad self? Snickerdoodle.
Well, in Orkspire, my favorite dancing spells are Running Troll Spell, the Electric Wizard Slide, and Breakdancing Naked, which is an insufferable spell you cast if you are evil / mad at someone for eating your leftover wizard pizza. How about you, Reese's? Imagine that, breakdancing naked. This is painful.
It's a sight to see.
Things are flying all over.
It's ridiculous.
Rug burn. Think about it. Jeez. Ugh. No thanks.
In Darinos, I am partial to white person at a party dancing spell as a finishing move, because nothing is more embarrassing.
Nothing is more embarrassing.
But my favorite is Rollin' with My Orc Homies by Coolio spell.
That spell was made by the wizard, the great wizard Coolio.
Yeah, he's a wizard. He just happens to have the same name as another. I think there's another Coolio in another realm.
I can sense his presence.
Everyone forgot about them, so I don't know. But, and the Cat Daddy is a good spell.
That is a good spell known to be danced by Buff Cat, I believe.
Buff Cat, yes, exactly.
The Buff Cat's Daddy.
The Buff Cat Daddy, yes. They just shortened
it. Next scroll! Nathan Enos asks, what is your favorite hot beverage on a cold and snowy day?
Oh, well, I mean hot cocoa.
Yes, you mean hot cocoa for sure.
That's the only one.
Maybe with some marshmallows.
The little ones are good.
I'll put one big one in, though.
You're a madman, Snickerdoodle.
I mean, I know.
That's
next
crazy.
Scroll.
Next scroll. Next scroll is from Ronnie Davidson. He asks, what do you do if your best friend is being a punk-ass bitch?
Well, last time my best friend was being a punk-ass bitch, I wizard flying magic slam dunked on his ass in front of all the ladies, and they were like, oh, no. Because he died when the rock I used for playing basketball crushed his skull. I apologized.
That's, I mean...
publicly, because I, you know, I am famous, so I was pretty forgiven pretty quickly.
Yeah, you got away with that one, Snickerdoodle. I'm not gonna lie. That was... yeah, you got away with that one.
Yeah, I just... I mean, I murdered a man in front of a lot of people.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was like a crowd, and they were like, oh, well, it's that's that famous man, so...
It was at that And One mixtape concert tournament. I always win, by the way, because I just murder people.
That's the way to do it. That's the only way.
How about you, Reese's?
Well, whatever you do, do not tell on him, because snitches get axes to their face. I would try to talk it out with him in a reasonable and adult manner. If you can't come to an agreement, pants him.
But I think pantsing always works because it really brings you back to Orkspire or Darinos.
Exactly. Just expose his wiener to the harsh, cold air of reality.
It can sometimes backfire because if you pants from the front and he has a bone...
you don't want to get sunned.
And it'll slap you right in the chin.
You don't want him to sun you.
Sun?
Yeah, instead of mooning, it's called sunning.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
Did they have that in the Orkspire?
Not yet. We are not that advanced.
You're lucky.
Next scroll. At Adam Safat asks, what's a standard first date in Orkspire and Darinos? Reese's?
Take her to the best steak brothel in town. If she doesn't immediately get wet, don't date her. If she does, go to her father's house and say, hey, you old man, I'm boning this chick five ever. Also,
that sounds a lot like your other answer.
It does. If it's not broken, don't fix it.
You know what? I couldn't agree more. In Orkspire, well, how's seventh bass in my chamber sound?
Oh.
Broadsword a-playing.
Oh, snickerdoodle.
And, chocolate stuff.
Just anything made out of chocolate?
Yeah, maybe the bed will be made out of chocolate. You don't know. I'm a wizard. I'll do whatever.
You know what, Snickerdoodle? You're a ladies' man. No wonder you're a famous man.
You know what? First you have to be a ladies' man. Then you can be a famous man.
That's true. You're very...
That's the walk to success. It's a brisk walk.
The pathway to success there.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Next scroll
is from @SilverWard on Twitter. They ask, what is the traditional gift used for showing affection in Orkspire and Darinos?
Well, in Orkspire, it is the head of your enemy, or the tooth of your enemy, or the ears of your enemies.
That's a good one.
Or chocolate lunar wolves with marshmallow fluff inside.
Damn, that is delicious.
I know, I'm trying to get some right now.
Do you think we could go to the ye old shopper and they'll have them on sale today?
Well, I mean, we can go and they'll probably give them to me for free because...
All right, famous
man. I'm famous.
I forgot.
I am wearing the shirt of my face that says famous man coming through on it.
It's good that you got those printed. There's one printing press in town and you monopolize his time with this shirt.
Yes, well... I needed 700.
You did. You gave them out.
I didn't, actually. I have all of them, because I plan on wearing them for the rest of my life.
Oh, my...
How about you? How about you, Reese's? What is the traditional gift for showing affection in Darinos?
Toenail rings. That's the only one.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry, I just had a realization.
Yeah, you finally figured it out, didn't you, Snickerdoodle? I was trying to give you a nice gift, and then you throw it out in the garbage.
Well, I don't know. Maybe if Darinos wasn't backwoods town, capital of the world...
We love our turnips, Snickerdoodle. We love them.
Look, I don't want to get... I don't want to make this into a xenophobic... debate.
Yes.
But I'll never set foot in Darinos.
I don't want to make it a xenomorph whatever these words either, but I'll never go to Orkspire.
You know what? I'm just going to take that back immediately because I do want to go and check out some of those dances you brought up because I'm famous and I should stay up to date with all the dances.
I take it back too. I would like to go and see your orcs and your spires and.
What do you say we hug this out? I'm sorry I threw away your gross toenail ring that probably smelled bad, but I didn't care to even hold it for more than 3 seconds. I just threw it in the trash.
It's okay. I forgive you. Well, let's hug. Okay.
Anyway, all right. Here it is. Our warm embrace of two wizards. It feels good, and it's still happening.
Snickerdoodle, is this shirt made of cotton?
Yes, it is. How did you tell?
You smell very good.
Well, I use a new detergent that's it's called Murder Mountain Breeze.
Oh, I'm just going to keep hugging you.
That's okay. What if we say we just hold on to this hug for as long as we want and say goodbye to these people with a ye old that's all the information you shall receive and tune in next week Well, maybe we'll find some time to do this again.
That sounds good. I'm good. I think that we did it. That was good.
That was good. Well, until next week, keep on giving hugs.
Keep hug your friends and your hug them. Just hug them.
Well, that was more information from those guys.
Yeah, they're really affectionate today.
They always kind of are in their hearts.
Yeah, they're, I don't know, they seem like just really deep down really nice guys, but sometimes, man.
They were just old and bitter a little bit.
That's true.
Anyway. We just wanted to go ahead and thank a few people for sending in some fan art this week. We got Dan Jones, who submitted an awesome illustration of Sid the Rogue, which is actually, I think, the first one of Sid the Rogue, who is one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, that was a really good drawing. That was, I know Dan Jones, I sat in a Dan Jones, he did like a Twitch drawing session for the Continue show one time, and he drew us, and that was awesome. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, Dan is a really, really talented artist.
Yeah, he's
and
really good.
You should check out his work. We'll put a link to everyone's stuff in the show notes, as usual. Mm-hmm. Dylan Dermier for a RPG pixel art of Thrawn, Buffcat, and Flyman with... you just have to see it. It's awesome. If you haven't seen it, it's on the Twitter and the Facebook and such.
I made it my cover photo on my Facebook.
I might have to make it my phone photo for my background. It's awesome.
It's cool as shit.
And, of course, Steph Mom for her illustration of a Bapple and a chair. And I think that's adorable. So thanks to all you guys and anyone who's ever submitted any art, because we are flattered that you would take any time out of your day to illustrate something we made up for the show. That's amazing.
It's awesome.
Thank you so much. Also, if you guys like the show, which, listen to episode 26, I think you might like the show.
Yeah, by now. I mean, if you're listening to it out of spite, then you're...
And if you don't, we're sorry.
Yeah, I mean...
We put you through such torture.
I mean, you're kind of only doing it to yourself at this point.
But if you want to support the show, a great way to do it is leave an iTunes review, such as these ones that were left this week that were really amused us. This one is titled Warning, in all caps with an exclamation point. This podcast is a smoking hot bone sesh for your ears. And trust me when I say it ain't wearing a Jimmy Jam, so you know it's going to put a baby right up in your sweet, sweet sound caves, girl.
That's a great fucking... comment. That's hilarious.
That was a great review. I read that review and I was unfamiliar with this program. I'd be like, all right, going on here.
I'll check it out, I guess. Sounds all right. Sounds promising. Here's one titled Mew Mew Mew, 5 stars by Buffcat Loves FF. I'll read it in the Buffcat voice.
Okay.
Mew Mew Mew. Mew Mew. Mew 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 Mew. Mew Mew. Mew, mew, mew. Mew, 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 mew. Translation by Sid the Rogue.
Fantasy fiction
aka the best podcast ever, is hilarious. I wish I lived in the same realm as Josh and Dom so I could... Ew, Buffcat, really? What the hell is this? They just won a review of a podcast. Anyway, it's funny. 5 out of 5 stars. Seriously, Buffcat, just wow.
So thank you guys for leaving reviews, and thank you anyone who's left a review in the past. It really helps the show. We got up to, I think, the top 50 in new and noteworthy on comedy because we check this stuff because we kind of love this thing.
Yeah, this is awesome. I look at it like all the time because like it makes me feel good inside to see you guys say things about the show.
I think I say this for the both of us. This is our favorite thing we've ever done. To see people enjoy it, one, is fantastic, and two, to see people leave these reviews, it's really flattering. Thank you guys so much.
Absolutely.
But leaving a review helps the show immensely, so if you have the time, feel free. Meanwhile, the Legion of Superman villains.
That's what it's called.
We are launching a store this week. Yeah. We are going to be launching our own Big Cartel. That's a web store format that you can use. And we won't be using the Spreadshirt anymore because I'll be shipping stuff myself because we have buttons and we have new Buffcat shirts and we have Fantasy Fiction shirts and a brand new button we haven't even posted yet, but we'll probably post this week.
Yeah.
And we're really excited to do that. And if you buy something, I'll probably doodle on the invoice.
Yeah, Dom's going to touch your clothing before you wear it. So,
and I'm also going to touch the tape and the packing label.
Yep, and the scale that weighs the package.
Oh, yeah, I got one of them.
Your drug scale, your tiny little drug scale.
So, if you guys are into getting some Buffcat shirts, I am looking at the boxes right now. They look real sharp. I'll post a photo probably of me in one, even though that's not that fun. But
that's fun.
I mean, I wish I could put Buffcat in one, but he doesn't exist, sadly.
He might. I won't be satisfied until I see someone dressed cosplaying as Buffcat. That's when I know. That I've done something with my life.
You did something, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so look for that later this week. I'm sure we'll post about it on the Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. Okay, and the prompts for next week will be Labyrinths, provided by Emmeth Roberts, and Hydras, provided by @JohnP17 on Twitter. So thank you for those, guys.
Those are good.
And thank you for everyone who submits those. We read them all, and sometimes they're ridiculous and make us laugh. So thanks. But thank you guys again for listening to another episode. And until then,
Josh, until next time, next Monday,
until next Moonsday,
keep on wizarding.
Keep on wizarding. It's the half year special. I don't know why it's so special, but it's been 1/2 year. Come and hang out with my dad. He's a cool guy. He eats slime off his belly.
What? Does your dad do that?
Yeah, he would yell and be like, Dominic. I'd be like, what, Dad? What do you want? And he'd be like, give me that salami in the fridge. And then he would ask for like a paper towel, and then he would cut the salami up and then eat it. Right in front of the TV. My dad's Italian. He's from Italy.
That's what they do there. I didn't gather that.
Well, have a good week, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.